about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. How we doing?
They're ready for you.
Then let's get her done!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Snoop Doggy Dog.
What's crackin', ladies, my people? Keep it rock and roll, my
people. So take it from me, Claude Akins.
This reminds me of something that Dick Nixon used to say to Henry Kissinger back when that tricky son of a bitch was trying to get us out of that messy business called Vietnam.
Vietnam, right.
He would say, Henry, you son of a bitch, I can lead a horse to water, but I can't milk it.
And now,
never enough girls.
Our feature presentation.
Wow. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Wednesday, the 18th of May.
Hey, the girl.
Hi, Bean.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
Yeah?
Real good. Yeah.
We speculated yesterday that maybe you had received that that sex toy package in the mail.
Yeah, I heard.
From Dr. Sadie. And that
over and over and over.
I thought it just had laid you out.
Yeah.
Like you were just too weak to get out of bed.
Yeah. No.
That was our theory.
I wish it was true.
So you're saying you heard that a lot?
A lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Meaning from the kids?
Yeah. All men. It was weird. Asking, hey, if you don't need that, you need real one, here's mine. So that was fun, seeing those pics. Appreciate it.
Is that the kind of stuff like you frame and put up on the wall? Or
exactly,
okay,
Kevin.
That's what I would think.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you call all those guys back and, you know, arrange lunch and stuff, right? I would imagine. I mean, somebody goes to all the trouble to send you a penis photo. I mean, it would be rude just to ignore it, I think. I mean, we're still civilized, right?
Then you go on a cruise with them as well.
And then hike.
I hate you both so much. I'm like, what went on yesterday? What does this mean? Why are my legs shaky? What's happening?
Well, we were just speculating. You know, when there's that information, you just fill it in your mind. You guess.
It's a good reach.
I got two great baseball-related stories for you today, Kevin. You're going to be very excited. I really do think you're going to like both of them, though. I know you're not the biggest baseball fan in the world. All right, why don't you give me a chance here?
All right.
Freddy Gonzalez is the manager of the Atlanta Braves, and the Braves are – I haven't checked the standings. I think they're the worst team in baseball. They are 9-28 this year so far.
Wow.
In fact, they lost the first 9 games of the season, and since then have only won 9. So they're 9-28, and they're in Pittsburgh right now in a 4-game series against the Pirates. And they played last night. And after the game, the manager, Freddy Gonzalez, he's, you know, checking his email. And he gets an email confirming his flight home to Atlanta the next day. And he goes, hey, wait a minute. We've got 3 more games here in Pittsburgh.
Oh, no.
Why am I – hold on a sec. Why am I flying back to Atlanta tomorrow and the rest of the team is – oh.
I've made my decision. You're fired.
Yes, the Braves had made the decision to fire him. They booked him on a commercial flight home, but they weren't planning on telling him until Tuesday morning. And I guess the email went out a little ahead from the airline, a little ahead of when they would have liked
it. What a bummer way to find out.
Yes, yes. So he gets fired on the road, and that's how he found out, is a confirmation in his email about a flight. So that's pretty good.
And in Pittsburgh?
And in Pittsburgh, So that's Freddy Gonzalez's night, so well done. And the other thing that I think you'll be excited about is Vin told another story last night.
Oh, yeah. Vin Scully.
So he had the story about, what did he have? He had the beard story, right?
The number 13.
Then the one about the number 13. Well, this one, he's got a little bit of a story. They were playing the Angels last night. By the way, congratulations, Clayton Kershaw. His 6th game in a row, striking out double digits. Struck out 11 last night. Wow. Dodgers beat the Angels. He told a story a little bit about the history of dirt. And I think that you guys...
That is not... That just isn't true.
And the batter, Gio Vitella. You know, looking at Clayton Kershaw's uniform with all the dirt on it, it reminds us about the importance of dirt to certain people.
Okay.
What?
That
happened.
This is happening.
Okay.
And this is real, and this is a thing, and this is the great Vin Scully, again, talking about dirt.
And if you go back, you know, first of all, the umpires get a certain dirt, and they rub the new balls before putting them in the game. Back in 1916, the Yankees were playing in the Polo Grounds. And whenever the Washington Senators came to New York to play the Yankees, would you believe they brought their own dirt?
I wouldn't believe it.
You're saying, what? Yeah,
what?
They did.
He's telling a story.
I hear
about
the catcher catching the ball, too, right?
Things are
happening.
Okay.
Yes, there are things are happening on the field. But Vin's got a very important story to tell us about the dirt in the polo field in 1916. That's where we're at. Please don't let this man retire.
Oh, he's a gem.
Please force him to work next season, too, right? Who's with me?
Well, I don't think you can force him.
No.
Nor would you want to.
I'm just saying.
They would bring their own dirt to dry their hands. And they claim the soil around home plate in the polo grounds was trick dirt.
What?
Have you ever heard of trick dirt?
I haven't.
Here's
the
1-1 pitch on the way. Fastball banged into right field. Base hit.
Back to dirt.
So Giovitella, 2-4-2. Single to center, single to right. And the batter will be Shane Robinson. Yeah, to conclude the thought, the Washington Senators, as they were then called, said that instead of drying the moisture on their hands, the dirt in the polo grounds made their hands slippery and the balls and bats harder to handle.
Oh, how about that?
How about that?
Trick dirt.
Well, there's nothing tricky about Kershaw.
No. All right, there you go. The ladies and gentlemen, the American hero, the great Vin Scully, doing what he does best.
Love it.
That reminds me of dirt. Unbelievable. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I don't know what that is, but no.
Adam Carolla will be on the program today.
Yeah.
We also have, would you like to take that back? I'm glad you're here today, Allie, because we're going to need you for that.
Oh, to help
would you like to
if
take
you
it
should
back?
Take it back? Okay,
sure.
Cool.
Sure.
Oh.
We have a comedian on the show today. Very excited about that.
Henry Rollins. A comedian on the show. Please be a little bit more specific because I'm afraid of what that might mean.
It's a guy who makes a living telling jokes. We always have comedians on the show.
Yeah, where's this one from? What country is this comedian from?
Oh, no. Kevin.
Kevin?
Really?
I mean, maybe.
Is he the Canadian comedian?
No. No, he's not.
Is he the Brazilian comedian?
No, he
isn't. Then who is he?
Kevin.
You didn't.
He's a comedian that needs a little help. And
Kevin.
We like to help where we can.
No.
Kevin, God damn it.
The Armenian comedian.
What?
Allie, you picked the wrong day to not come in.
Right. Henry Rollins, though.
Yeah.
All right.
Right?
Hope he doesn't hear it.
Tickets for The Cure. Yesterday. And we're going to talk to Travis Barker from Blink 182. How about that? With some new news for Blink. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
What if we didn't talk to the Armenian comedian? What if that was the decision instead?
Then
you
you'd be missing out on the chance of a lifetime.
Oh, not right. You two.
Where is this
all in.
You're in.
Yep.
Look at me pushing my chips.
I just thought it was
the table.
I just thought it was Kevin against the world. You're on his side?
Are you kidding me?
Everybody's on my side on this one.
The untapped resource that is Armenian comedian.
Have you not heard him before?
Yes, I have.
We're talking about the same guy?
I heard his joke about the bellhop. That was freaking hilarious.
He's good. That's the point.
He's genius.
So we're going to do that and a lot of other good stuff today, Bean. Don't you worry about it.
Just the tip of the iceberg. The Armenian comedian is just the tip of the good iceberg.
Oh, screw.
We are. Hey, take as long as you want with the showbiz then, Ralph, if that'll put that off even further.
Got to speed things right along. Just like our little music here, that's entertainment, of course. You know another big showbiz song? There's no business like show business. You know that song?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. There's no business like show business like no business I know.
Was that popularized by the great Ethel Merman?
It was. Irving Berlin's classic song about entertainment is exactly what 87-year-old Jane Little was playing with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra. Okay. Last night, she played the double bass for the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra since 1945 when she was just 16 years old. And on Sunday night, the orchestra was up there doing their collection of Broadway show tunes. When 87-year-old Jane Little started to slump a little bit.
Oh, no. Kevin, it's not funny.
And someone noticed terrible double bass leaning forward.
No. Why are you laughing?
Because.
What's wrong with you?
Because it's horrible. But also.
God, you're...
It's not awful. 87-year-old Jane Little went doing what she loved. Playing the bass with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra since she'd done she was 16 years old. It just made me laugh a little bit that there's no business like show business. That was the song she went out to. So we salute you, Jane Little.
So you're happy seeing this lady die doing what she loves, but when I suggest that Vin Scully's heart needs to explode in the booth...
Let's
so
not get back
die.
Into that because
why, so why do you want to revisit that? Bean? It doesn't make
so
you look
worse.
Good.
I'm a bad guy.
You are a,
you
bad,
are a
guy.
Bad guy.
It's this exact
no,
same
no.
thing.
Scenario no.
was your scenario was they won
they
the,
win
World
the World Series,
right?
And then he instantly dies in the booth.
Right. 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 And we're saying why not let him enjoy it for an hour? You want him to go right that moment, that second.
Okay. But what about double bass lady, though? She dies on stage doing
World
what she
Series
loves
for
same
that.
Thing.
Yeah, it's not a World Series moment. It wasn't like she had tried her whole life to get into the Atlanta
right.
Symphony Orchestra, finally got to play on stage, and then died in the middle of it. That's
correct.
What you're saying. It's
I'm
very
saying,
different.
I'm saying it's the same.
It's not the same. We just told you why it isn't.
I can't hear you.
I wish you would die doing what you love.
Today?
Yes, right now. Why delay the joy, right?
I can't hear you.
That's the childish like response ever.
I can't hear you.
That's la, 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 la. That's what that is.
I like it. I'm sorry. I'm not making out anything that's been said right now.
Ugh, worst. Speaking of death, James Gandolfini, remember when he passed away in Italy?
Yes, very sad.
Well, apparently... The paramedic who came to help and the first responder who took him to the hospital, authorities in Italy are saying, also stole his Rolex watch.
Oh.
Claudia Bevilacqua. Bevilacqua is accused of swiping the $3,000 Rolex Submariner watch from off of James Gandolfini's wrist. Gandolfini's wrist. And he's on trial for it right now as we speak. So we'll see what happens with that case.
That sucks.
Here's the thing. People always say that. How could you steal from a dead person? How could you do that? I'm thinking it probably should be less of a crime than stealing from a live person, right? James Gandolfini's never going to use that watch, right?
Right, but it's...
But if you like stop a guy in the street and you knock him to the ground and you rip off his Rolex watch and you run away...
Are those our only really, two options?
Those are...
Yes. What about not stealing it?
Well, that would be the ideal, don't get me wrong. But if you're going to steal, right... If you're going to steal from somebody, if you have to steal from somebody.
I mean, you don't have to steal from somebody. That's just not acceptable.
Wouldn't it be better to steal from a dead person than from a live
but
person?
But, Ralph, you're technically stealing from a live person because that watch does belong to his family.
Boom.
Let them get their own watches.
Well,
right?
And
no,
was he dead when he
that.
Stole it? Like, had he passed?
Yeah, apparently he had passed.
Okay. Think he was still barely alive?
Well, I don't know
if
he was like on oxygen.
Critical care in order to get the watch off his wrist.
Clear, boom, take the watch.
Yeah, I just thought maybe. Hmm. Let's take a look at today. Oh, let me give away something. Let me give you tickets.
Oh,
tickets to a little movie I like to call Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Yeah.
And that, of course, is what they're calling it as well, because that's the name of it.
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sequel to the wildly popular Disney film, Alice in Wonderland, of course. Everybody returns. Johnny Depp, Mia Wasikowska, Anne Hathaway. Looks terrific. It's going to be in theaters everywhere on May 27th. However, you, my sweet friends, will get to go on May 25th.
Alice Cooper.
No, Alice Cooper's not the subject of the film. It's Alice from Alice in Wonderland. May 25th at the IMAX headquarters, IMAX 3D. It's an amazing way to see this film. I can't wait to see Alice Through the Looking Glass. You can go on the 25th if you call me now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers at that phone number get a little early morning treat.
It's Alice Cooper.
No, Alice in Wonderland. Alice Through the Looking Glass. Call now and you'll get to go and it'll be fun. Today's celebrity birthdays, Tina Fey's 46 and Jack Johnson. Oh, Bubbly Toes. Oh, good old Bubbly Toes. What's Bubbly Toes been up to these
Surfing,
days?
Surfing, I'm sure that's all.
Surfing and being all handsome and dreamy. Remember when we had breakfast with Jack Johnson?
I do.
And the ladies were just swooning.
Yeah.
And I was like, put on some shoes. You're freaking Dave the King of Mexico out, Jack. He doesn't like that. He's got foot trauma. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Travis Barker in a couple of hours. What's the, how come, why?
It's our show.
What?
It's
for our show.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Because our show is dead now.
Oh, you're so wrong.
Because you don't care about our show anymore.
You've never been more wrong.
Who's on the phone right now, Kevin?
Sam, the Armenian comedian.
Hey, Sam.
Good morning, folks.
How are you?
Excellent.
It's been a long time since we've had you on, isn't it?
Yeah, I was. I thought I was in the past.
I did too, honestly, Sam. What have you been up to, buddy?
Oh, working, and I'm trying to get my career going. And
now working, you mean haircutting, and then career, you mean comedy?
Yes. Okay. And then rock and roll.
Rock and roll, sure.
Oh, rock and roll. So you still have a band right now, Sam?
Yes.
And do you guys play around town?
Yeah, I'm playing right now. I'm trying to put an open mic show in a Roomy Cafe in Sherman Oaks on Ventura.
Yeah, I saw that they do an open mic night there on Friday nights from 8 to 10. Are you going to be there this week?
Yes.
And you're going to be doing jokes or playing music?
Music, jokes, open mic. I'm inviting all kinds of guests to appear on the stage and do whatever they have their talent to show up.
You're the MC as well, so you introduce everybody. You tell the crowd who they are. And by crowd, I mean, you know, whoever's there, a couple people.
A lot of people.
Hey, Sam, two things since it's been a long time since we talked to you. You say you're trying to get your career going. Do you think you'll ever give up on being a successful comedian and or singer?
Why should I give up? Why don't you give up your own career, too?
Yeah, Bean.
Well, I feel like I've had a
USA!
Little bit.
I know.
You don't give up on dreams, Bean.
Right, but I feel like I have a little more reason to believe that it's going to work out for me. I'm getting some positive feedback and some encouragement and a paycheck, and I feel like you're not getting any of those
things. But it is good that Sam has his backup. He's still cutting hair. He's still doing that. So he knows what it takes to at least do the right thing.
And all these years, I've been trying to get you guys to get me on the stage with my band. You never did it. I'm trying to get you guys get me going, and you never did it. You know, just playing around games on me, you know?
But
that's
Sam,
that's not fair. I am more talented than any of the stage people, any actor, any musician. I am already being raised that way.
Okay. So you're better. You're a better
in my youth.
So you're a better actor than any actor, and you're a better musician than any musician.
Yeah, I've been sharpened like a razor in my youth career. I've been taught to be all these things, not just like that. Okay.
I can't argue with that. You definitely have put in the time. There's no question. You've worked hard for a long time, but I mean,
it must get frustrating for people not to recognize your genius.
They don't know what I am.
Right? Sam's the Armenian Kanye.
I am the Bob Marley of the Armenians, okay?
Or Bob Marley, sure.
In Africa, Ethiopia, Addis Ababa, and their alphabet is like music. I've already put all these things on the Afro machine. You never heard before?
Yeah, we play your stuff all the time, Sam.
Yeah, I'm going to put more jokes.
Excellent.
Okay.
Speaking of jokes, why don't you run one by us? If you're going to start doing the comedy again Friday night, tell us a joke.
Why Hillary Clinton wants to become president of the United States, that not of the woman ever been in the United States, USA. because she's looking for Monica Lewinsky as a revenge for Bill Clinton.
Right.
Wait.
So you're saying she wants to be president so that she can have sex with another guy so that she can get back at Bill Clinton for the Monica Lewinsky thing?
That's right.
All right.
Oh.
All right.
And that's a joke?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about another one? Another joke.
What Donald Trump said to Barack Obama, move over. Can't you see that I'm coming? I'm already talked to you too much. Can't you see it? Can you dig it? Can you know it? Can you know it? Can you see it? I'm about to sit down your place. Move over.
He still got it, ladies and gentlemen. The Armenian
one
comedian.
One more. I feel like the third one. You have to do things in threes, Bean. One more, Sam.
One more. Okay. What did the doctor say to the patient?
What did the doctor say to the patient?
Oh, man, I can't help you. Your disease is a genetics. Oh, then the patient says, oh, why don't you send the bill to my grandpa?
Right?
It's genetic.
Right?
It's not bad.
USA! Friday, USA! Friday night, USA! Roomy USA! Cafe. Okay, all right. It's at Ventura Boulevard.
Hey, listen.
Yes,
one
I was
more
trying to plug the thing. Go ahead.
He was telling the information for where you're going to be, Sam. Maybe don't interrupt him during that part.
I'm going to be in Roomy, R-U-M-I.
That's what he was saying, right.
Right. Right. In Sherman Oaks. Ventura.
Right, behind Tony's Liquor Store, Friday night from 8 till 10. All right, anything
by
else, Sam, before we...
Greek yes. Restaurant, by the Great Greek Restaurant.
Okay, that's fine.
Do you think he can hear us?
By the way, I own a restaurant partnership in with my wife's family. It's called Ibla, Armenian restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And Mediterranean, E-B-L-A, in On Rasida.
I feel like you peaked about a minute ago, and we should have said goodbye, Sam.
Hey, you gotta have some Armenian food. It's the best.
Okay.
Right.
And then I'll send the bill to your grandpa. Ladies and gentlemen, the Armenian comedian right there on Kevin Beach Show. USA! Bye, Sam.
Hey!
Nope. Again. Nope, not appropriate.
Maybe we should have a conversation off the air, and we should all agree on like a song.
Well, yeah. I just feel like Chip is zero for a thousand on the haze lately. That's
she's
all.
Consistent.
That's your opinion, man.
She feels like she's nailing it.
Travis Barker's got some Blink 182 news for us later on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. The great Adam Carolla will join us, and next hour Henry Rollins will be here. I know you're going to be okay, Al.
Right?
Okay.
I know that we all love the TV, and sometimes it's hard to understand why shows get canceled and why shows don't get picked up. And, Allie, you've had some Nashville feelings lately as a result of that cancellation, I know.
Yeah.
A lot of people very upset, as am I, by the way, about Agent Carter being canceled by ABC. In fact, there's a petition with tens of thousands of signatures on it right now to try to get Netflix to pick up and start making Agent Carter, which I think would be great. But here's a real head-scratcher for you. Our friend Sarah Shahi, who we love so much, she's such a nice lady and a terrific actress. She's one of the stars of Person of Interest. She was supposed to star in a new series on CBS based on the old Nancy Drew books. It was called Drew. So she's playing a female detective, right? So apparently they made a pilot and the show tested well, but the network decided to not put it on the schedule in the fall because it, quote, skewed too female.
Huh.
Now, what's that about? We got lots of people. Lots of people saw the show and liked the show, but too many of them are women. Well, don't you want anyone to watch your network? What's wrong with having a bunch of women watching a TV show? I don't understand why that's a I get it if people didn't like it, but if a lot of people liked it, even if they're women, what does it matter?
Maybe a lot of their programming is aimed at men, and that's what they.
Then you think you'd be delighted to have something that brings
whole
ladies
new audience.
In.
Yeah.
Whole
new audience.
So we wanted to find out more about this, and it's a very curious thing with CBS. So we asked Dave if there's somebody he could line up for us. And in the programming department, the vice president of CBS programming is Brick Rockhard, and he joins us on K-Rock right now. Hey, Mr. Rockhard.
Hey, dudes. What's up?
I'm great.
How are you? I'm so swole this morning.
Right.
Are you? I'm pumped and huge. I already got a workout in. It's arm and chest day.
Dude,
you with me?
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not? So you're a vice president of programming for CBS Television Network.
That's right.
Okay. Very popular network, the number one network on television.
Damn right, we're number one. We're number one. We're number one. Beer pong.
Right. So what can you tell us about our friend Sarah Shahi and her show?
Don't get me started on that thing.
What do you mean?
Nancy Drew.
Right, yeah. Right. Very popular book series for many decades with millions of fans.
For chicks, for millions of chicks.
And what's wrong with that?
Right?
No, I'm saying what is wrong with that?
Yeah, chicks.
No, what I'm saying is that would bring a lot of female viewers to your network. Wouldn't you want that?
Like when they're watching television. Too busy sewing.
We do. Whoa, sewing. Really?
You're the worst,
TV, Rick. They sew.
But, Mr. Rocco.
Laundry.
I don't want to tell you how to do your job.
Oh, who needs female shows on television? Blah,
my
right?
point
Who's
is,
with me?
But women have jobs, and they have money, and they have
right?
spending power, and they make a lot of decisions
I
about
can't
things.
Fix that.
No, but I'm saying that's how it is, and that's fine. Why not reach those ladies with your advertisements?
Because they're too female. We found out of our research that women are very female.
What does that mean?
What right? does that mean?
Exactly.
No, I'm asking, what does that mean?
It means it's very female.
Right.
Right.
So we did this show, right, Nancy Drew, and we had, like, it's about a woman. Uh-huh. And we put a woman in the lead. Right. And we watched it, we're like, dude, this is so female.
Right. Okay. Right.
Right.
So me and the other dudes in programming got together and said, no, we're not going to put that on the air.
Huh. Are you really a vice president of programming at CBS?
That's right, dude.
But what about a Supergirl? Now, that has a female lead, and that's on CBS. Oh, that's
gone.
Right. I forgot you canceled that, too. I
gone.
Forgot you said that to the CW.
Right?
Well, you've got Mom. You've got The Good Wife. Yeah. Those are both female.
We're changing all that. CBS is revamping their entire schedule to reflect dudes.
Okay. Is that right?
We don't want anything to be too female, so we're taking everything. We're rebooting it all.
Okay.
Like, what do you mean?
Our new comedy, Two Broke Dudes.
Oh,
about two dudes working a diner. They're such dudes.
That's Two Broke Girls. You just replaced them with dudes.
Right? It's awesome.
No.
Another comedy, Big Banging Your Sister Theory.
Oh,
nope.
Man.
Okay. No. Nope.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
That doesn't sound awesome.
The new comedy, Mom is in the Kitchen Making Me a Sandwich.
I hate you, Rick.
Our new drama, The Good Wife is in the Kitchen Making Me a Sandwich. We got a CSI coming back.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good. All right.
CSI Balls.
Oh. Who wants that?
Dudes.
Nope.
Dudes.
Okay.
Who fight crime.
With their balls.
Is that a person of interest? Penis
yes.
of interest.
Penis of interest?
Yeah, it's about a guy's got a machine that can tell you where chicks are going to be in the future. And you show up there, you got a penis. Right, dudes? Right.
This is awfully duty.
Look, we're aware there's a lot of other networks that have success with female-based shows.
Uh-huh. Right.
So we're taking those shows, and we're going to dude them up. All their hits, we're taking them, we're going to dude them up.
Wait, you're remaking other network shows now?
Yeah, like Jane the Virgin, but not for long. Right? That's our new show. You know Empire?
Yes.
Sure, of course.
How about Himpire?
Well, that's not even a thing.
Right? It is a thing. It's about a bunch of dudes who run a record label, and all their songs are like Motley Crue and like Poison.
Right.
Dudes!
Good examples, Rick.
You know that show Scandal?
Yeah, of course. Very popular, yes.
Oh, this fall on CBS, it's Mandel. It's about a male president who gets a guy to help him fix things.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Mandel.
He's not happy about that one.
We got a How to Commit Murder.
Uh-huh.
Because your girlfriend won't shut up during the football game.
I'm not positive you want to do that.
No,
not right.
And then instead of Grey's Anatomy, we have Gay's Anatomy.
A lot of dudes?
One more dude than dudes doing other dudes. Dudes!
Right, okay.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:56.
We're going to get a real upgrade here on the program as Henry Rollins steps into the studio coming up right after the top of the hour. He is next. First, Rob's got a look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday. What's going on?
just can't wait.
Can't wait for?
For Monday.
Because
JoJo's back.
Oh, is it Bachelorette season already?
Yes, my sweet, sweet friends.
Mm-hmm.
Bachelorette debuts Monday night. And you know how last year's theme was It's Raining Ben?
Yes. Right.
Well.
Do you have a new theme song?
I don't want to promise you, but I think we have a new theme song. They're teasing it on Instagram.
Okay.
They teased a picture of JoJo with the lyrics. Guess who's back? back again. JoJo's back. Tell a friend, right?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Nope.
Oh, come
really?
On.
I'm with the nope girl.
Can't wait.
At least, like, wake me up before you JoJo. That's good. Is this a song?
Sadly, yes.
Oh, okay.
We all heard that.
Hey, Ralph.
What?
I can't believe I'm about to ask a question about JoJo the Bachelorette. But was
you still
she,
have the opportunity not to.
Was she heartbroken by not being picked by Ben last
yes,
season?
Yes, she was
oh, she
crushed.
Was. But she's willing to put her heart out there again and try to find love on TV in a reality show?
Yes.
Okay.
As long as they're all there for the right reasons.
Oh, that's right.
There for the right reasons. She believes in the journey. She thinks it's possible. She
will it be the most traumatic journey ever?
She saw it happen for Ben, so she thinks now it's her time.
Okay.
JoJo's back. Tell a friend. Mm-hmm. This year's bachelor hopefuls who are trying to win her heart have interesting professions like hipster. One lists his profession as hipster.
Is that a profession?
Nope.
I don't think that's real.
And bachelor superfan. Another one lists as his profession.
Ooh. Wait,
if
so
that
got on
is
the
a
show
profession.
Just because he liked the show?
Right. How come I'm not on there?
You should be
right.
On there. You should be.
Oh, JoJo would just dig me the most.
I don't think you're crazy enough.
You don't?
No.
You don't know me very well.
All right.
ABC has announced they're going to do a live musical production this year. Of course, you know, everybody's got to do one now. Fox did Grease Live. NBC's had a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
ABC president, the new president, Channing Dungey, who's the sister of our buddy Marin Dungey, by mm-hmm. the way, has announced to reporters that they will do one, but did not announce what it was going to be. However, she said, a little hint, it speaks to the heart of who we are at ABC as part of the Disney family. So, speculation is they're going to take one of their wildly popular animated musicals and mount it as a live stage production on ABC.
Well, if they don't do Frozen, they're missing out, right?
That has been speculated as one of the potential titles that they might do. Also, The Little Mermaid has been bandied about.
Okay.
I like it.
I like it, too. I want to be where the people, are.
I want to see them dancing.
Allie McKay is Ariel in The Little Mermaid.
Strolling around on those... What's that word again? Oh, feet.
Uh-oh.
What's
ABC's
happening?
Calling.
Holy crap.
I think that's ABC calling to cast it. Kevin, pick up the phone.
To cancel it?
No, to cast Allie.
Oh.
How dare you.
Transformer news. I told you yesterday they had a new title for the fifth Transformer film of the franchise, Transformers The Last Night. Mark Wahlberg will be back. And then they announced Josh Duhamel is going to be back as well, returning as Lieutenant Colonel Lennox, right? He was in the first three movies with Shia LaBeouf, not in the fourth, but he will be returning for The Last Night. So these are good times we live in.
Yeah,
I guess.
I think we have a Transformer. Can't wait for it. The best.
That movie series is not getting better.
Mm-mm. No.
With each one. Mm-mm. This would just be called, really, another one?
Yeah. And it started off just okay. It was fine.
I really liked the first one.
Did you?
Yeah.
Of course you did.
But then second and third, it started really good.
Why do you keep going?
Has been diminishing returns.
Why? Look, you know when they'll stop making these movies, Kevin?
When
they stop making
going.
So much money. Why do you keep going?
Because finding car bots. A truck machine fights another space needles machine.
I just feel like every time you go, it's a worse experience than the time before.
Yes.
Yet you still go.
Yes.
I don't understand it.
I don't need a lot of happy goods in a film of that course. And just to give them one or two moments of loud punch, and then I'm going, what is this? I like it.
That guy's making a lot of sense.
Today's celebrity birthday is Tina Fey. We love Tina Fey.
Sure do.
46 years old. And singer Jack Johnson turns 41. We've had Jack on the show a bunch of times. I remember one time Kevin did a live interview and performance with Jack Johnson from Coachella, one of the years where Jack was one of the headliners of Coachella Festival.
Yeah.
And I remember you out by the K-Rock Coachella house. You were
right.
In the backyard, I think. And Jack was set up to perform live. And what was the problem? They were putting some equipment onto the field at one point early in the morning.
Doing some kind of construction, and mm-hmm. something was backing up forever. I think they were going around in circles, but backwards.
There was
so
a truck
beeping.
Backing up.
Beep, beep, during the performance.
You think that made the performance better?
I don't. I'll play some of it for you.
All right,
you can judge.
All right.
All right, here we go. Something that nobody knows.
That happened.
I think the truck was off rhythm. I think that was the problem.
It just wasn't on the beat.
Had the truck been on the downbeat, I think actually would have helped.
I just remember going, can somebody tell that guy to go forward for a little bit?
That's not good.
Not good. It's pretty sound.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I always feel like I don't work hard enough when we have our next guest in the studio with us. Henry Rollins is here, of course, famous musician and spoken word artist, activist, author, DJ. He does it all. He's got a new film coming out June 17th called The Last Heist. Mr. Rollins, welcome back, sir. How are you?
Oh, hey. Good to be back.
It's great to see you. Henry was telling us as he stepped in, I don't know how you even know what country you're in, but every 2 days it seems like you're swapping nations and you just happen to be in America today. This is a crazy schedule you're on.
Yeah, it's going to be like this. My tour started in late last year and I'll be bouncing around the world till February of next year. It's just, you know, it's what I'm used to. It's what I prefer, actually.
It is. You like that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, when they travel that much, they just... It just grates on.
It's what I choose. Yeah. I mean, I'm 55. I've been living this way since I was 20. So it's conditioning. And, you know, I have a nice place here. It's cool. But after like 3 days, I want to go. I'd rather be.
You just get restless.
Yeah. I'm kind of spoiled. I like the whole world, not just one little street.
What are you running from?
Well, that's what people ask me. but, you know, that's a good question.
Boredom, maybe?
Yeah. Whenever I'm back off the road, and by my fourth day here, I just feel I've run out of ideas. And it's real life, you know, and I should be able to handle it. I guess I'm just not mature enough. And I just love being out in Europe or being in Australia or being on a plane or looking at a schedule going, tomorrow you're up at 3. You got to go. And it keeps me honest, keeps the blood thin, keeps my life interesting. So
the impression that I get from you, Henry, that's different from a lot of people who travel is that, you know, we talk to a lot of bands that come through here,
sure,
and
they
see the venue and they see the hotel and that's all they see. But I get the impression that you always figure out a way to make time to wade into the city or into the country that you're in and be among the people. Am I wrong about
that?
As best I can.
There are periods of time where, sadly, it's hotels, tour buses, airports, and the backs of venues. You never see the lobby. You come in through the loading dock and then you leave via the loading dock. And that is the case a lot of times. But I do have the occasional day off, not many on this tour. And on those days, if there's a museum, if there's somewhere to go, yeah. But, you know, when I'm not on stage, like last year, I just did a bunch of TV and film stuff. But I traveled. I was in Antarctica. I was at Easter Island. I was in the rainforest of Ecuador learning about biodiversity. And so I travel all over the world by myself just to get information. So I'm not on stage. I'm just traveling. And I go through like Central Asia, all over Africa. I've been to about almost 100 countries. And a lot of that is not to be on stage. There's nothing for me to be on stage in Uzbekistan. But there's a lot to learn. So I went. Just me and a backpack and a camera.
I love that you talk about getting just dropped off somewhere. You grab some water and a protein bar.
Yep.
Hop in a cab if there is one and just say, go right.
Yep.
Or go left.
Yeah, give me $5 that way. And the guy says, well, why? I said, well, I'm going to go get lost. I got the address of the hotel. And either I'll make it back or I won't. And either way, it'll be interesting, right?
Right.
And I've done that literally from here to Islamabad, Pakistan, where I was in Islamabad when Bhutto was assassinated. And it was like my second day there. I'm like, wow, the city's on fire. What's up? Oh. And it became an interesting week. The airport shut down, and I was stuck there until Pervez Musharraf eventually opened the airport and let me out. But I usually go alone for sometimes months at a time. Like if I'm not booked for 80 other things, I just load the backpack, pick 5 countries, and just jam out.
But Henry, you go to a lot of places where there's not much English. How do you navigate? How do you get around and communicate?
Be
with
really
locals?
Polite. Just be polite and don't use sunglasses.
You say don't?
Yeah. Just like if you're going to speak to a man in the Middle East, look him in the eye. Don't talk to his woman. You might be introduced. He doesn't really understand where you are and understand that this country might not see your country all that favorably. They might not like your country's policies. So tread lightly. Be very culturally aware, especially anywhere that is Islamic. You just don't walk up to one and go, hey, excuse me, can you help me get to this? Find a man. It's just – it's a cultural thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And – if I lead with respect and genuine curiosity, and if you're genuinely curious, I walk into some like souk or a slum like in Indonesia somewhere, and if you go, hey, how does that work? And they're like, you really want to know? You're like, well, yeah, I do. Well, then come on in. And all of a sudden, someone's making you tea. And put it this way, I've been all over the world, and I've only had to run for my life a couple of times, and that was in America. The rest of the world has been, yeah. The rest of the world.
Because you've gone places that the government says don't go.
Yeah, North Korea, Iraq, Afghanistan, places like that. I was in a mortar attack in Baghdad years ago, but I was in a building that was like built to take a mortar attack. So I'm not trying to oversell this. But they said, oh, it's a USO tour. They go like, sir, in the next 20 minutes, sir, some idiot's going to lob a thing over the wall, sir. I said, okay, that's cool. And then like 20 minutes later, like clockwork, mortars landed outside the building. And it felt like a human fist punched you in the sternum, the concussion. And they said, that's the bomb, sir. I'm like, really? Yeah, I thought it was lunch. I'm like, yeah, I got it. But beyond that, the world's
been... okay, that's cool is a strange response.
Well,
the
soldiers were like, wow, sir, you're nuts. I'm like, nah, you know, I know that you're taking care of me. They're not going to let the talent get blown up. But otherwise, the world has been incredibly friendly to me. Like, I was in Iran for a week, and I went there with like $400 in Iranian, like, rial, whatever the currency is. No one would let me spend money. I go into a restaurant. They're like, no, thank you for visiting us.
Really?
Thanks for not judging us. Oh, yeah. It was insanely friendly.
And you talk to a lot of people. You actually go out of your way to talk to people.
Yeah. I hang out. You want to meet people, go to the marketplace. Because people want to sell you stuff. My friend, come in. And like they're pouring you tea. So you buy something to be respectful. And they'll tell you anything. You know, like, okay, you got elections coming up. But what do you reckon? Like, well, my friend. And you know, someone will tell you something you're not going to get on CNN for sure.
Henry, how difficult was it for you to get in and out of North Korea? Because we were
that was a visa that took 3 years.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, and the first time I was in Australia, my road manager said you just got approved for North Korea, and then at the last minute, the last person who was okaying me recognized my name and said, "We can't put you in there. It's too risky. If you get recognized, you know, movies, TV, whatever, it could get touchy." And we just can't risk it.
So the problem is any level of fame at that point.
Yep, any level of notoriety. Uh-huh. And so we tried again, and I got in, but I had to sign a waiver that if you get in hot water, because if they find out you wrote a book or you're in a movie, they're going to want to talk to you. You might not get out of that fast. And you have to sign this waiver, and as soon as you sign it, you get to go, but you're on your own. And I went. And the problem was there was some Australians there, some Europeans, and they recognized me.
Ooh.
And so we're going to tourist places. It's all very guided and propagandized. But the Brits are going like, you know, hey, Henry. And my tour guide went from, I don't know much English, to pitch perfect English. He went from, Henry, to, why does that guy know you? And his whole tone of voice changed. And I'm not good at lying. So I'm like, I met him in the breakfast room, and he likes to talk to me. And then the Australian tourists recognize me, and they all want photos. So I had to find one of them, get away from my tour guide, find him, and go like, you got to cool your friends out. Because here's what I'm up against. And he briefed them, and they all left me alone.
Wow.
And
why was it so important for you to go to North Korea?
Because I want to see places. I'm Johnny Quest.
And, I feel like because they said no.
Well,
I sort of feel that.
Yeah,
there's a little of that.
There's a bit of that. And also, if you want to really learn about any culture or country, a documentary is nice, but it's just an introduction. You got to go so you can know. And that's I inform myself that way by getting my feet on the ground and going. So,
Henry Rollins is here. We have so much more to talk about, including his new film, which is called The Last Heist. It's in theaters and on video on demand on June 17th. Quick break. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. Henry Rollins in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. HenryRollins.com to keep up with all the things that he's doing with his essays and with his radio show and so much more, including his new film, which is called The Last Heist. Now, we're a few weeks out of this one coming out, June 17th. And as usual, you are an intimidating presence on screen, my friend.
I always get the bad guy parts.
Yeah, you're a serial killer this time around?
Yeah, well, a serial killer with a religious fervor.
I swear to God, I thought you were going to say with a heart of gold.
With a heart of gold. don't leave him with your kids. No. My guy's idea is that if he extracts people's eyes, he will send them to heaven. And so I'm doing you a favor, and the only thing that inconveniences my day is you keep wriggling, going, ow, ow, you're ripping my eyes out. And so I go into a place to deposit my eyeballs. Meanwhile, that building, the safety deposit building, is being robbed. Unbeknownst to me, it's being robbed. And so while bad guys and good guys are killing each other, I'm killing all of them. And so it's a film within a film. And so while I'm not on set, there's SWAT trucks and cops and men running around going, you know, Iceberg 9, go to the roof. My experience in the film was quiet rooms and me quietly killing people. And so I didn't meet most of the cast until the wrap party because I was...
Were they all afraid of you?
Well, no, they're all nice people. But I missed all the big 8 cop cars pulling up parts because I'm in small rooms going, hello. And it was an interesting shoot because I hardly met anyone.
Wow.
Because I just kill a few people and then I get all the money and leave. I win.
What's appealing?
Just gave away the ending.
What's appealing to you about a role like that?
I'll be very honest with you, as always. They offered it to me.
Okay.
I get offers for scripts now and then, and if I think I can be an asset to the production, if it looks interesting, where I can do something cool, I'll go in for the meeting or go in for the audition. If I read the script and go, ah, this is not me, I'll pass politely. But they offered me this part, and I looked at it, and I said, let me meet the director. I have an idea for this character. I want to do it this way. If he likes it, I'll do it. If he doesn't like my idea, I want to hear his idea. So I met Mike Mendez, a great director. I said, here's my idea. He's smiley, he's friendly, and totally sick. And he went, I like that!
Yeah, that's what's so scary about that character.
Yeah.
You're nice, you're happy.
Yeah, and I got a knife.
And you have a knife.
And so Mike liked the idea, and that was
Mike who made Lavalantula and Big Ass Spider, by the way.
Yeah, and he's a really fun guy. And he liked my idea, and it was kind of sort of his idea as well. He's like, yeah, he's friendly. And so he came up with the stylized look he gave me for the thing. So we got along, and I said yes. But that's why I do film, is when I'm off the road and I get a cool offer. I have 3 films out this year. He Never Died is one that's the promotion's just finishing. And one I wrote that is that's the one called Gutter Dameron with Lemmy and Iggy and Slash and Grace Jones and me and members of the Queens of the Stone Age and Eagles of Death Metal, etc.
As actors or as musicians?
As actors.
Oh,
it's amazing. Yeah, it's we have Lemmy in the film. It's one of the last things he did.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he looks so good in it. It's amazing. And so
when does that come out?
That rolls out next week in Germany, and I'm going to be out there to premiere with it. It's going to roll out at a festival, so I'll be in and out of Europe all summer with that thing.
And you wrote that one, too?
I wrote it. Yeah, I wrote the screenplay.
So you thought, hey, why not have all my musician friends act in it?
Well, yeah, me and the creator of the whole thing, the guy hired me to write it, he and I got in touch with all these people and said, hey, be in our crazy film. And they all said yes, thankfully.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
By the way, you talked about Lemmy, who you were friends with.
Yeah.
This year, it's no secret, has been a kick to the gut for music fans.
It's been really rough.
It's been horrible. And some giants, you know, Merle Haggard and David Bowie and Prince and all the rest.
And John Stabb of the great D.C. area punk rock band G.I., he passed away about a week ago.
Who, by the way, I knew well. As you know, Henry, I'm from back there, too.
Yep.
We worked in record stores together, yeah, so I knew John well.
And John's a good guy.
A great guy. We've lost so many. And I wonder, a guy like you who's so thoughtful, do you spend much time thinking of mortality?
Not my own. I'm kind of crazy in that I don't really care when I go. In that, you know, it's what I get out of it. Why worry about it? But it's when other people go. I grieve very hard. Like when Bowie died, I was in Newcastle, UK, and I woke up. I was on a tour bus, and I open up the internet. And I'm like, oh, I'm glad I was sitting. I think I would have fallen on the ground. My legs went out. And I had to be on stage that night. It was very difficult. I didn't want to do the show. I just want to sit and kind of freak out quietly to myself. But I got it together. And I was lucky. I saw Lemmy a couple of months before he passed away last year. Just luckily, I was in the same hotel with Motorhead, and his assistant found me. And I said, tell Lemmy I want to talk to him. He goes, no, he knows you're here. He wants to talk to you, too. Because we've been pals for like 30 years. Mm-hmm. And I got to hang out with Lemmy one last time. And it's tough when these people go because they have a sense of immortality. You never think of a world without David Bowie or a world without Prince. I mean,
Absolutely. Come
on. And so when they go, as we all eventually do, it shakes you. But as far as my own mortality, I've almost been killed a couple of times, and it's trippy. It's psychedelic when you're almost there. But I don't trip on it. I don't think
about it. Part of the reason I asked you, Henry, that question instead of someone else is because you're a guy who seems to squeeze every drop out of every day. It seems like you are really not wasting much time.
No. And the older I get, the more urgent everything becomes.
What's left on your list that you haven't been able to do?
I'd like to. There's a lot of geographical points I want to get to. A lot of places in Central Africa I haven't been to. I want to get to Chad. I want to get to Western Sudan. I've been to South Sudan, but not the western part, like Darfur. And so there's a lot of travel, basically, I want to do.
When you go to so many places that have so much poverty and drought and so many problems with disease and overcrowding and everything else, does it make you think differently about America's role in the world?
Yeah. Makes you take a shorter shower. It makes you it makes you very humble and very grateful. The Western world, we're so lucky. America is one beautiful slice of real estate. When you go to other parts of the world where people are eating food, they don't know where it came from. And the water is like full of mosquito larvae. And I've been to some parts of Africa where life is not certain. And I was going up the Niger River one time on my way to Timbuktu with a Tuareg guy named Mahmoud, who I traveled with for 2 years on and off. And he smoked like a chimney. I said, Mahmoud, why do you smoke so much, man? And he said, I'm 36. I was supposed to be dead like 5 years ago. I'm, you know, because the life expectancy of the Tuareg male, it's not great. And so when you meet people like that, and then like 4 days later, you're driving your car down Sunset Boulevard, and you're like, man, I got to be part of something that promotes life, not promotes the end of it.
Tell me if you also experienced this. I was lucky enough to go to Kenya, and there's
beautiful,
crushing,
right?
Yeah, beautiful, yeah. But crushing poverty as well.
Yeah.
But the kids, the children, are so happy.
Yeah,
their smile is so just. They're so radiating joy.
They live in the present.
Yeah,
and because tomorrow's unsure.
You look at that and you go, "Well, they must be miserable because they have to walk literally 5 miles to school." But they're perfectly happy and running around playing. I mean, it's really something.
Yep, I meet these buoyant children all over Africa. You go to Bangladesh, the kid, a lot of street kids, and they're just like, you know, something out of a Oliver Twist. You know, they're just really amazing. Yeah, I've met kids all over the world. I take a lot of photos, and with some kids, they see the camera, and they all start acting out. It's hilarious. But, yeah, it's amazing. These kids, like, they're soccer balls, a bunch of plastic bags tied into a circle, you know, into a sphere. Yeah, I've played with all these kids in Haiti. I was visiting orphanages there a couple of years ago, and they're just happy with nothing.
They're not defined by
their
surroundings.
They're not defined by their surroundings or by their material possessions.
And I get, when you talk like that, what a culture shock it is to come back home for you.
Yeah, no, it's strange. It's like getting off an airplane with the dust of the pyramids from Giza, Egypt, on your boots. It's psychedelic. It's surreal.
Wow. I've never experienced that. I got to be honest.
No, it's just strange to like be in India and like 26 hours later be staggering out of a plane at LAX going, did I just see a body on fire at a crematorium 3 days ago? Did that just happen?
Is like, the answer to that yes?
Yeah, uh-huh. I've seen that a couple of times, yeah.
This is the life of Henry Rollins, you guys. HenryRollins.com. The Last Heist comes out on demand on iTunes on June 17th. And the other film, pronounce that one for me again, the one we looked at.
Gutterdammerung.
And why'd you call it that, Henry?
Because it's a play on the term Gutterdammerung, which I guess is Wagner. And this is our amazing director, creator, Bjorn. He said, we're going to name it Gutterdammerung. I'm like, oh, you're smart. That's funny.
Well, I am not smart enough to get that, but I can't wait for the movie. It sounds great. Always a thrill to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. Thanks so much for coming by.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to make a note to not have Henry Rollins in anymore.
Because?
Why? Because every time he comes in, I realize I do nothing and I know nothing.
But not having him on isn't going to change that.
That's correct.
You're still going to do nothing and know nothing and have nothing.
That's true. Let's have Henry back on the line. All right. You turned me around. I feel so much better. Thank you, Ralph.
You're welcome.
Travis Barker from Blink 182 next hour with some exciting news for Blink 182 fans. And also we'll give you a chance to win some tickets in the third row for their upcoming shows at 9 a.m.
It's time for...
Would you like to take that back? No. Would you like to take that back?
No.
Tell me, would you take that back?
No.
Would you like to take that back?
No.
Would you like to take that back?
No.
Tell me, would you take that back?
No.
So this is our do-over, right? This is our opportunity to revise history by saying I'm sorry for a shameful thing I said.
We're like Rip Hunter, Time Lord. We can go back and save the world from Vandal Savage. This is awesome.
I'm not positive it's that important.
Oh, okay.
I feel like this is just a chance to take stuff back if it was a swing and a miss.
Okay.
The first person who might want to take it back is Ralph Garman.
Nope.
Oh.
Ralph Garman was talking about our opening act for April Foolishness, Grant Cotter.
And I talked to Grant. I said, you know, why don't you come on the show after you're done anytime? Because you're now a member of the family. So you're always welcome back, Cotter. That's what I said.
I mean, I respect it.
I don't.
Not cool.
Not no. cool at all.
Oh,
cool
come on.
Would you like to take that back?
Hell no. Come on. How many times you run to somebody named Cotter in your life and get to tee that one up?
Now, I'm not the right person to ask this, Ralph, but the fact that it's a 40-year-old reference, that doesn't change your mind
so
on how appropriate
what?
It was?
Okay. Not everything's for everyone else.
Okay.
Some things are just for me.
All right. Next is Allie and Bean.
Uh-oh.
Next is Allie and Bean. Bean's doing a story about a guy that gets tased, and Allie, the lag time between when Bean says something and Allie tries to make a joke is quite long.
Not quite a tase, but it's some sort of a stun.
They have a stun gun.
They have a stun gun.
Stun gun. Okay. Yeah. So he gets knocked down. He's, by the way, running away with the stolen merchandise and his pit bull on a leash when they stun him.
Did he get up again?
He did get up again, as a matter of fact. Yes. Then he had a whiskey drink. No, he got up.
F both of you.
Would you like to take that back?
I'm not going to interrupt him. He was talking. I'm not going to be like,
so
did
you
get up again?
So you're going to hold on to that joke
yeah,
for a long time?
Yeah, until he takes a breath.
But here's the thing. If you're not going to interrupt him, then once that ship is, I don't know,
right.
a few miles out from
It would appear that way.
It really, yeah. It's less effective than if it comes on the tail end of something being said.
Okay.
Can you see my point?
I see what you're saying.
Okay. Allie.
Sure.
All right. Bean. Because I feel like Bean was forced into it and actually made a pretty good joke after that.
I felt
that he did
like
a whiskey drink.
I was piling on to what Allie said
right.
in a very short amount of time, so I don't think I'm a victim of the
oh,
lag time.
Oh, I see.
So I don't see any reason for me to take my part back.
Okay.
All right. The next is Ralph and Bean. They're talking about the band Boston and a lead singer. You can replace singers.
Okay.
Turns
yeah.
out.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
I give you Journey.
I have more than a feeling that that band will go on and on regardless of whoever is singing lead for them.
You know, it's been a long time since we've been able to talk about Boston, but I'm glad you brought that up, Ralph.
You all right, Kevin?
Come on, Kevin.
Come on, Kevin. It's fun, right?
It's not fun.
Don't look back. Look ahead. We're having fun.
Would you like to take that back?
I guess Ralph first.
No, okay. I'm not taking that back.
Right. Bean?
I'm comfortable with that.
So neither of you.
I don't think so. I thought that was an appropriate 1-2-3 Boston hits list. Yeah, sure.
All right. Ralph is up next again.
Come on.
Ralph's talking about a movie with, I think, Zac Efron and The Rock. Were they in a movie together? I don't know. You referenced Zac Efron.
Oh, it must be Baywatch.
Baywatch.
Yeah. Filming, okay. Filming that now.
That's what it is. And then Ralph brings the humor.
I was just going to say,
motioning
although...
Motioning up to whatever Zac Efron's doing.
Isn't The Rock, Kevin, somebody who makes almost every movie... Enjoyable.
Yes.
He's that likable and that fun to watch.
Yes.
You saying you can't stop The Rock?
I am saying that.
What
are
you saying? When he's on screen?
Would you like to take that back?
Yeah, that was a shoe. I shoehorned that in there. That,
yes!
Did, that was not organic. That did not belong there.
Finally!
Yeah, I'd take that back.
All right, Ralph is next.
Oh, shut up!
Wow! Ralph's talking about a big Star Wars fan that pulled his kid's tooth out with a string attached to a drone that was the Millennium Falcon.
All right, toy.
A lot of people use guns, too.
I've heard that.
Yep, they hook the tooth up to a bullet, and they just shoot it. Boom. It's pretty cool.
Even though her tooth was removed by the Millennium Falcon, her dad says she can still chewy.
Hey now.
Honestly, Ralph. I forgot
Yeah,
that.
See, look at all the joy I brought this room again with that joke.
No, don't you dare take it back.
Good day, sir. You get nothing.
All right, up next is Ralph.
Oh, wow.
Wow. And Allie. And Ralph is talking about AC/DC. They finally made a statement about Axl Rose being their temporary lead singer.
Brian Johnson, singer of AC/DC, has finally said something about Axl Rose replacing him for the remaining 10 shows in the band's 2016 concert tour. It's a long statement, but basically refers to Axl only as a guest singer and explains that the reason Brian had to leave the tour is because his doctors told him if he continued to sing in large arenas and punish his ears in that way, he'd soon be completely deaf. But word is that Angus Young is already looking for a replacement, permanent replacement for Brian as lead singer. So I suggest Gary Cherone. I think he'd be a good choice.
Yeah.
Good
More than words for you? It's an extreme choice, but... Hello, you guys?
Yeah, it's on.
Okay. We're still here.
Yep. Would you like to take that
back? Gary Cherone was the lead singer for a band called Extreme.
Yeah, I should have just
then
said...
he took over as the lead singer of Van Halen. Yeah. So he's like a famous bad substitute.
Yeah. Right.
I should have just said it's an extreme choice. But I did. Would you like to take that back? I'll take it back. I will.
Okay. All right. Take that back. And last is Allie.
Oh.
Hard to imagine. We were talking to a random person in Sweden. They had a phone number set up, and you could just call Sweden and a random person there.
BS country, pretty much.
It's not a BS country.
Country is awful.
Is it all the Ace of Base?
You put that in the file, why don't you?
How do you know about our file? Would you like
to take that back? Wow, a random Swede is suggesting
to
go in the file.
I mean, if he's saying it, it's obviously pretty bad.
Right.
So, yes,
so
I will.
So you'll take it back. All right. Would you like to
take that back? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
I probably won't be here next week because I'm going on vacation, going to Tokyo.
Tokyo?
Oh.
But I'll be back in a couple weeks. But there'll be something going on next Sunday at midnight. Be some K-Rock music, or maybe just leave a pile of CDs here and just let them play and see what happens.
Good idea.
So
it's a good plan.
That's right after... Cat Corbett.
What happened? Locals only, right? Yeah.
Anyway, I got something brand new here.
From whom?
And here it is, exclusive.
Yeah.
The Monkees.
That's what I thought. That was my guess. I should have seen that coming.
What are the chances?
Yeah. Hey, 7:53 Wednesday morning. It's Ralph Garvin time.
Speaking of music, what's going on? What's the secret? What's the haps?
About.
RATM?
No, Prophets of Rage.
Yeah.
You don't know what it is.
So
no one knows what it is.
I don't. I'm guessing.
Prophetsofrage.com, I believe, is the site. And if you go there, you just see a clock ticking down to what's the estimate? Memorial Day? Is
that June 1st, I think.
June 1st. But you enter your email address.
Right.
I did that.
Smart.
Yes.
Smart to go on a random website with a countdown clock, like a ticking bomb, and give them your email address.
Sure did.
Why would
Already
you
got an email back.
Murder fear
Because
do
if
that.
It's Rage Against the Machine and Public Enemy, I am in and I want to be on that list.
Is
That's
that
why.
What that is?
It's a... That's Public Enemy song.
One of the rumors.
But also Prophets of Rage. Okay, what's happened? Yes, it's Rage Against the Machine and it's Public Enemy. Two great tastes. It tastes great together. Let's do this. Who's with me?
Having said that, she doesn't know either.
I have no idea, but I feel like that might be
your
it.
Guess.
Yes.
That'd be so good.
It'd be so good.
Oh.
It would be so funny once the clock runs to zero and your computer blows up in your face because you gave them an email
address.
Could
that happen?
Yes.
Really?
That's
why,
the future.
Why else do you think they're getting email addresses?
Right. Why, someone who's afraid to go on a hike because of murder, you're
right.
sending your email address to a random website that you really don't know what it is.
I have three email addresses. This is my, like,
third Oh, this is your safety?
Yeah.
This is your safety email address? I see.
Yeah.
So it won't blow up your laptop as hard?
It'll be a lighter blow.
I will say... this, Ralph, and that is that every time the guys in Rage are asked if they've broken up, they always say, nope, we're an ongoing concern that just doesn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
We're a band that doesn't record and doesn't perform, but we're still a band.
They do play live, you know, every 7-8 years.
Yeah.
It seems like.
The email I got, it says, clear the way for the Prophets of Rage. The party's over. Summer 2016.
The party's over. Don't you get it? The party's over.
Yeah.
They might as well say the time is now.
Yeah.
Ahmed.
You're done, Allie.
You're finished.
Shoot.
But it's going to be pretty cool if it's Rage.
And Public Enemy?
Public Enemy.
Are you kidding?
And Bean, you said...
And ABC.
And Bean, you said... No, not ABC. Allie, you're lucky you missed yesterday because...
Shoot that poison arrow through my heart.
Oh, Lord.
Shoot that poison arrow.
Pew, pew, pew. I'm with you, Ralph. What did I miss yesterday?
The message is perfectly simple.
A lot of ABC
singing. I love ABC.
The meaning is clear. Be near me, be near.
Now, what did you decide, Ralph, your ABC tribute band was going to be called?
XYZ.
All right.
Yeah.
I like it.
You missed it, Alan. We were talking about ABC because ABC's back. ABC's back together again. Martin Fry is taking ABC back out on the road, and they have a new album out, Lexicon of Love 2.
I love it.
Why so soon?
How dare you, sir?
Listen, some things, it just needs to go away for a while, and you realize how much you missed it. So when they come back, you're like, oh, my God.
Yep. That's what every boyfriend always tells Allie right after they go. When I come back, you're going to really be happy. Oh, the look, the stare I'm getting right now. Okay, let's move on, shall we?
Ralph didn't say that to you.
Right.
Allie.
They said it. That's why.
Right?
They're bad people.
Right?
Not me. Hey, remember when Don Draper invented that whole Coca-Cola commercial? I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony.
Yeah, the series finale, yeah.
At the end of Mad Men. It turns out Don Draper did not actually write that commercial.
Yeah.
It was a real commercial.
Duh.
Right.
Well, I'm just saying, not everyone may know that I'd like to teach the world to sing. And everybody's on the like on a field with their Cokes, and it's kumbaya for soda. And
right.
Everyone comes together, and they share their experiences.
And right. The Native American has that single tear.
Nope, that was a trash commercial. Oh. Very different. Like, not a commercial for trash.
Come get your trash.
Do you have enough trash?
Come on down and buy our trash. Throw it out your window and just drive by an Indian. No, it was actually an anti-pollution commercial.
Ah.
But this spot was legendary. It was one of the most famous commercials of all time. And it was created by an ad man named Bill Backer, who passed away on Friday at the age of 89. Bill also came up with Things Go Better with Coke, Everything You Wanted in a Beer and Less for Miller Lite.
Wow.
And Tonight, Let It Be Lowenbrow.
Wow.
Oh,
you remember that one?
Yeah, legend.
Yeah.
How about that?
Tonight, let it be low and brow. And that made me drink that stuff, and it was awful. So he was the best madman ever. Or Adman.
Adman.
Not a madman. He could have been a madman for all I know, because when I drank low and brow, it made me mad.
Made you mad?
Not Why good? Did I drink
it's
that?
Not good because
it's not good.
Because of that song.
But it made it look so appealing. You with your pals together tonight. Let it be low and brow. And I drank it and went, let it not be low and brow, right? Who's with me? I said out loud the first time.
Does that brand still exist, Ralph? No one responded.
I do not know.
I don't think I've heard the word low and brow in a long time.
I haven't either. Someone do a quick Google search. Low and brow. Now, stat.
It just doesn't matter.
It does matter,
It really
Kevin,
doesn't,
Because I'm bringing some in. I'm going to get some ice cold
low
and brow
tomorrow.
You
don't even like it.
And you and I are going to...
I'm not tasting it.
We're going to say, this morning, let it be low and brow. And we're going to drink it.
It still exists. It's owned by Budweiser now.
Hmm.
It still exists.
Owned by America, you mean?
Right? America, right, yeah.
Has that happened yet? Has Budweiser changed its name to America?
Not yet.
Not yet? Can't wait.
I don't know, but when they do, it's going to be the right thing to do.
I can't wait to drink America. I've always wanted to drink America. Haven't you?
Sure.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Tina Fey, 46 years old today. She's the best. And singer Jack Johnson. Ah, he's 41. He's got bubbly toes, and he's surfing, and
it's his life.
I wonder if him and Jimmy Buffett ever get together and just have a chill off. Just see who could be more chill.
And more barefoot.
More barefoot.
More unshaven.
They just lie in two hammocks and stare at each other.
And who could wear that same t-shirt the longest?
Let's see who gets out of the hammock first.
That's a hammock off.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, we have tickets for The Cure. If you want to call now, 1-800-520-1067, you need to know their lyrics. That's all we're going to tell you. 1-800-520-1067, you call now. We'll play a game next.
Have you seen the studio next door?
What is the studio next door?
The one right here through the window? Look at it. It's just chock full of celebrities. All these stars are in there.
It looks like
some sort of telethon.
Well, we're giving away tickets to go see The Cure Tuesday night at the Hollywood Bowl, and we're doing that with a game that we like to call the Wheel of Celebrities.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. The Wheel of Celebrities. It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
So we spin the wheel, whatever celebrity's name it lands on. Ralph, you will motion them into the studio, and they'll be reading lyrics from a Cure song. All the caller on the phone has to do is identify it by title to go into the drawing to win the tickets, correct?
These stars are standing by to read lyrics from Cure. Yes.
They are in the next studio.
They are standing there
and all
near a microphone.
Ready to
and
do...
And once their name lands on the wheel, we will signify to them that they have been chosen.
Okay.
They will step forward, approach the microphone.
Okay.
They will be handed a selected lyric from a Cure song.
And then will they sing it?
They will not sing it. They will simply
correctly, recite the lyrics from that Cure song. It is the onus placed upon the caller to have to identify the song by the band The Cure that that particular individual celebrity is, in fact, reciting the lyrics of.
Got it.
So you're going to point at the celebrity.
Therein.
Okay.
All right.
Kevin, how's this game played?
Well, we have a wheel, and we're going to spin the wheel, and then it lands on a celebrity.
Okay, got all that.
What will the celebrity do once it lands on them?
Who's our first contestant, please?
Carmen in San Fernando. Hi there.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
You ready for the wheel?
Yeah, as ready as can be. I'm kind of nervous, but hopefully I'll win.
Don't be scared. Wheel's your friend.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, I guess we will.
It's I know, right?
Al Pacino.
Al Pacino.
Al Pacino.
Right. Great to have an Oscar winner standing by.
Yes, it is. It's great to be here.
All right, Mr. Pacino, so you're going to read
we explained it.
Carmen. So what am I doing?
You're reading the lyrics for a Cure song.
I don't have any goddamn lyrics.
You're going to help me win.
Who's in charge of giving me lyrics?
You don't have
them? Where are they? Oh, here they are. All right, I got them.
Okay, good.
Right. Let me just read these. Remembering you, standing quiet in the rain, as I ran to your heart to be near, and we kissed as the sky fell in, holding you close, how I always held close in your fear. Ooh-ah.
Beautifully done, Mr. Mm-hmm.
Ooh-ah, not part of the Cure song.
Ooh-ah, not included.
Yeah.
Carmen, what song is that?
Is that Pictures of You?
It is.
It is.
Right.
Well done, Carmen. You are in the drawing. And
well done, Carmen.
Well done, Al.
What the hell about me?
You did it.
I'll burn this place to the ground.
All right. All right. Step aside. We're going to spin the wheel again, Al.
All right. We have Sorrow in Long Beach. Hi, Sorrow.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Is that how you say your name? S-A-R-O?
Yeah, sorrow like sadness.
Yeah, don't be sad.
All right.
Well, it's for Cure tickets.
It's true. It landed on Pee Wee Herman.
Pee Wee Herman.
La la la. I would break down at your feet
and beg forgiveness, plead with you.
But I know that it's too late.
And now there's nothing I can do.
Oh, no.
You know this so well.
Come on, sorrow.
You couldn't know this more. It's a Cure song.
Okay. Sorrow.
Can you do it again?
Nope.
No.
Sorrow.
Don't cry.
That was Boys Don't
Cry.
Bean, you're killing me. All right.
We say goodbye to Sorrow. So far, it's just Carmen. Let's meet our next contestant, please.
Sorrow is the magic word of the day. Yay.
Kyle in Santa Monica. Hi there.
Good morning. What did you guys?
Kyle, you knew that last one, right? That was pretty easy.
Sure, yeah.
Sure.
Right. Yeah, whatever.
Let's see who you get. The wheel landed on William Shatner. Bill Shatner.
Thank you. Suddenly, a movement in the corner of the room. And there is nothing I can do when I realize with fright that the Spider-Man is having me for dinner tonight.
Well done, Captain.
Kyle,
what song?
Oh, my gosh. Let's see.
These are not obscure lyrics.
No, these are very popular Cure songs. So if you don't know, just guess. No, I'm sorry.
No, it's Lullaby. All right, so we're 1 out of 3. Okay.
That's all right.
It's all right. Eddie and Carson, hi.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. You ready for the wheel?
Yes, I am.
All right, good luck.
Playing for Cure tickets at the Hollywood Bowl, May 24th. That's Tuesday night.
Thank you.
Donald Trump.
Good for him. He's so lucky to have me because I do the best lyrics of anyone.
Oh,
and I've done a lot of lyrics.
Is that okay? Right?
Yes. I'll be huge at this game.
Okay.
Huge.
All right. All right.
But if I had your faith, then I could make it safe and clean. If only I was sure that my head on the door was a dream. Okay.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Go make America great again. Thank you, Mr. Trump.
Eddie?
What's the song there, Eddie?
Eddie.
Say your own name again?
How about a song title from The Cure?
I'll get that.
A Forest?
No, I'm sorry. That was close to me. Okay. I feel like we're not talking to Cure fans.
Yeah,
maybe we didn't explain the game enough.
Because
is it possible that's where we dropped the ball?
David in Long Beach, hi.
Kevin and Bean, what up?
David, what do you think? What's the problem with our callers this morning? I feel like these are doable, right?
Very, very doable.
All right. Okay. Let's see how you do. Let's spin the wheel. The celebrity that will be reading your lyrics is the great Adam West.
Oh, great.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hi, Mr. West.
Kevin and Bean.
You're the only Batman as far as I'm concerned.
You're right, Bean. And you're the only Bean as far as I'm concerned.
All right. Got that out of the way. Let's hear your song.
Whenever I'm alone with you, you make me feel like I am home again. Whenever I'm alone with you, you make me feel like I am whole again.
Go ahead, David.
That's Love Song.
Love Song. Yes. Nice. All right. Nice. Cut our losses there and go on a win, or spin the wheel one more time?
One more.
Let's do one more time.
Right?
One more time. Stacey. Why do one more when we can do one too many, right? That's what we always say.
I'm not sure we say it quite that way, but Stacey, hi.
Good morning.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right, here we go. The celebrity is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Ah!
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You're glad you'd spend it one more time, as I'd be in that room with Al Pacino spitting all over me.
Arnold, have you said hello to Stacey?
Stacey.
Good morning, Arnold.
Good morning, Stacey. Come with me if you want to live.
You're going to read the lyrics.
Oh, lyrics. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Dressed up to the eyes, it's a wonderful surprise to see your shoes and your spirits rise. Throwing out your frown and just smiling at the sound as sleek as a shriek spinning round and round.
Boy, those are tough.
That's Friday, I'm in Love.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, it worked out.
Yeah, give me your clothes.
Whoa, hold on a sec. That was a good job, Arnold. Well done for a guy who doesn't speak English. Those were very tough lyrics.
Thank you, California.
Stacey, David, Carmen, all in the running. Only one will win tickets to join us Tuesday night at the Hollywood Bowl to see The Great Cure back in town. Who's our winner, please? Ellie McKay.
The winner is Carmen.
Carmen.
Yeah. Carmen.
Congratulations, yay! Carmen.
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 Carmen. Carmen.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. The Wheel of Celebrities. It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
Janky. You guys remember the Weenie Roast?
This past Saturday?
Saturday Weenie Roast.
Yeah.
So, Panic at the Disco is wrapping up. And by the way, how great are they always?
Always.
Always.
I love that band so much.
Shame.
And the stage is turning. You're going, all right, this is going to be interesting. I'm ready for Empire of the Sun. But it's not Empire of the Sun at all. It's Blink 182.
Yay!
And the crowd goes wild. It's such a fun moment when this happens at the Weenie Roast as you watch the audience and it occurs to them, wait a minute, what am I seeing? That's what's happening. It's super fun. Fun for us anyway. Let's find out what it's like for the man behind the kit, our favorite drummer in the whole wide world, Travis Barker, who joins us back on K-Rock. Hey, Trav, how are you, man?
Great, man. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you for being there Saturday. What was it like for you guys? Did it feel like you feel like super spies getting ready to creep around the venue and not have people see you and then just show up on stage all of a sudden out of the blue?
Oh, it was so fun. So fun. So stoked to be there.
Well, you're sitting there and you're not facing the crowd. You must be going, oh, this is going to be really fun. You knew you would get that response though, right?
All day. I mean, because our trailers, our dressing rooms, you guys kind of hid us,
right? Mm-hmm.
So we were hidden from everyone. It was as if you guys were ashamed to have
it.
We did put you in the desert, pretty much.
No, but it was awesome. It was, it's so cool. And then I'm walking the stage, and people were like, "Oh!" You can tell they're kind of figuring it out. But I always love the revolving stage, because it's like. Even when you know what band it is, it's awesome because you wait, you're just anticipating the stage to turn. But for the stage to turn and no one has any idea it's us, and then we come out the way we did, cursing and shouting and being very loud and obnoxious, it was awesome.
Oh, yeah, the first words from the stage were Mark screaming, F yeah, we're Blink 182 or something like that. It was very funny.
By the way, Mark was not very good at hiding. I saw him all over the place.
Yeah.
I was like, are we supposed to be not letting you walk around? I took a selfie with him at 4. I don't know. It was odd.
That's funny.
We heard people say, Ali, you and I were talking about this, we heard people say that they'd never seen Blink 182 look like they were having more fun on stage.
I think I even said it.
How did that show feel to you guys while you were playing it, Travis?
felt great. I mean, we've been, like, rehearsing, kind of getting ready for tour, and it just felt fun, man. Like, we, you know, the whole vibe is pretty fun right now. You know, we're all really good friends, and we're excited to go out and kick some butt together. You know, it's not, no bad vibes.
And we got to meet our new mommy.
Really? Your new mommy?
That's how he was introduced on stage.
Okay, yes. You scared me. I was like, I have no, there's no new mommy.
Oh, wow, that took a weird turn, Travis. Sorry. No, that is how actually Mark introduced Matt Skiba. Meet your new mommy.
That's so funny. Yeah. No, Matt's awesome. You know, a year ago we played New Zinc together. We did like 3 warm-up shows together, and it was awesome, and hence why we got into the studio and made this incredible album that I can't wait for everyone to hear, and then, you know, playing Weenie Roast was just a blast.
The new Blink-182 album, by the way, is coming out on July the 1st. We talked to the guys about it when they came in to debut their single, Bored to Death. And I wanted to ask you one question about the last song on that album, because you guys did Bohemian Rhapsody Saturday, but it was like 30 seconds long. Is that the whole song, or were you just teasing us with a taste of it?
No, that's the entire song.
So that and Built This Pool, you could play both of those songs in a rock block in under a minute.
Yes. Yeah, everyone that hears Bohemian Rhapsody, they're like, well, can it go on? Because it's, like, one of our favorite songs. Like, yeah, it was a fun, you know, kind of little jingle that we made towards the end of writing the album. And it was, it's a really fun song.
But I saw that you guys put up a 10-hour version of Bohemian Rhapsody online right now.
No, Built This Pool.
Oh, is it Built This Pool? A 10-hour version of that, yeah. That's hilarious. That's awesome. to take a song that short and make it 10 hours long.
Awesome.
Travis mentioned the tour, and of course, we have been giving away tickets all week here on K-Rock for Thursday, September 29th at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater, and Saturday, October 1st at the Forum. Tickets for both of those shows go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. But Travis, I understand you have some more news for Blink-182 fans that you want to share with them today.
Yes, now there is a second show at the Forum, September 30th, that's just been added.
How about that, gentlemen? Look, I know this is your, Southern California is your home base, but you add up Irvine and 2 shows at the Forum. That's a lot of tickets, Travis.
Yeah, I mean, it feels good, man. That's, you know, we're from California, obviously, Southern California, West Coast. We're really excited to be playing so many shows right in our hometown.
I'll tell you what else is nice, Travis, is that a lot of people, and you're one of these bands, could charge a lot of money. You don't.
No, we don't. We've always been very, very adamant about low ticket prices, you know, just because we have such great fans, and it's just weird, man. You shouldn't have to break your piggy bank to come see us play.
Tickets start at $23 for Irvine Meadows, and they start at $25 for the Forum.
Unreal.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I think parking is more expensive than that for Forum, isn't it? Tickets for all 3 Blink-182 shows are going on sale this Friday, May 20th at 10 a.m., including the just-announced date on the Friday, September 30th at the Forum. How about this? How about these opening acts, Travis? That sounds like you had something to do with that.
Yeah, Day to Remember, you know, those are really, really good friends of mine. I love that band. Kevin from that band is a really close friend of mine. They rule. All Time Low, good friends of ours. All American Rejects. It's an amazing tour. And then, you know, DJ Spider is going to be out there as well. I think it's a great package, man. It's like it's going to be a great summer.
Yep, it's a super fun night. I'm very excited. Again, September 29th, September 30th, and October 1st. You can pick your night, pick your venue. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. We can't thank you enough for being for holding the surprise and showing up Saturday at the Weenie Roast. It was so much fun to see you guys. Matt is an awesome singer-guitar player, too, by the way. It's a great time to be a Blink fan. I imagine a great time to be in Blink.
Yes, it is. And thank you for having us. We always love playing the Weenie Roast.
You bet, man. See you soon, Travis. Thank you.
All right, you guys. Have a good one.
Thank you, man. Bye.
I got 2 great baseball-related stories for you
all
today,
right,
Kevin.
Okay.
You're going to be very excited. I really do think you're going to like both of them, though. I know you're not the biggest baseball fan in the world. All right. Why don't you give me a chance here?
All right.
Freddy Gonzalez is the manager of the Atlanta Braves, and the Braves are – I haven't checked the standings. I think they're the worst team in baseball. They are 9-28 this year so far.
Wow.
In fact, they lost the first 9 games of the season, and since then have only won 9. So they're 9-28, and they're in Pittsburgh right now in a 4-game series against the Pirates. And they played last night. And after the game, the manager, Freddy Gonzalez, he's, you know, checking his email. And he gets an email confirming his flight home to Atlanta the next day. And he goes, hey, wait a minute. We've got three more games here in Pittsburgh.
Oh no.
Why am I – hold on a sec. Why am I flying back to Atlanta tomorrow and the rest of the team is – oh.
I've made my decision. You're fired.
Yes, the Braves had made the decision to fire him. They booked him on a commercial flight home, but they weren't planning on telling him until Tuesday morning. And I guess the email went out a little ahead from the airline, a little ahead of when they would have liked
what
it.
What a bummer way to find out.
Yes, yes. So he gets fired on the road, and that's how he found out, is a confirmation in his email about a flight. So that's pretty good.
And in Pittsburgh?
And in Pittsburgh, yeah. So that's Freddy Gonzalez's night, so well done. And the other thing that I think you'll be excited about is Vin told another story last night.
Oh, yeah. Vin Scully.
So he had the story about, what did he have? He had the beard story. Right?
The number 13.
Then the one about the number 13. Well, this one, he's got a little bit of a story. They were playing the Angels last night. By the way, congratulations, Clayton Kershaw. His sixth game in a row, striking out double digits. Struck out 11 last night. Wow. Dodgers beat the Angels. He told a story a little bit about the history of dirt. And I think that you guys...
That is not... That just isn't true.
You know, looking at Clayton Kershaw's uniform with all the dirt on it, it reminds us about the importance of dirt to certain people.
Okay.
What? That happened.
This is happening.
Okay.
And this is real, and this is a thing, and this is the great Vin Scully, again, talking about dirt.
And if you go back, you know, first of all, the umpires get a certain dirt, and they rub the new balls before putting them in the game. Back in 1916... the Yankees were playing in the Polo Grounds. And whenever the Washington Senators came to New York to play the Yankees, would you believe they brought their own dirt?
I wouldn't believe it.
You're saying, what? They did.
He's telling a story.
I hear
about
the catcher catching the ball, too, right?
Things are happening.
Yes, okay. Things are happening on the field. But Vin's got a very important story to tell us about the dirt in the polo field in 1916. That's where we're at. Please don't let this man retire.
Oh, he's a gem.
Please force him to work next season, too, right? Who's with me?
Well, I don't think you can force him.
No.
Nor would you want to.
I'm just saying.
They would bring their own dirt to dry their hands. And they claim the soil around home plate in the polo grounds was trick dirt.
What?
Have you ever heard of trick dirt?
I haven't.
Here's a 1-1 pitch on the way. Fastball banged into right field. Base hit.
Back to dirt.
So Giavitella, 2-4-2. Single to center, single to right. And the batter will be Shane Robinson. Yeah, to conclude the thought, the Washington Senators, as they were then called, said that instead of drying the moisture on their hands, the dirt in the polo grounds made their hands slippery and the balls and bats harder to handle.
No, how about that?
How about that? Trick dirt. Well, there's nothing tricky about Kershaw.
No. All right, there you go. The ladies and gentlemen, the American hero, the great Vin Scully, doing what he does best.
Hey!
Wow.
That wasn't bad. I'll allow it.
You'll allow it?
All right. Hey, real quick, thanks again to Travis Barker for joining us earlier this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. With this big Blink-182 news, they have announced a third date at the end of the summer. This one's going to be on Friday, September 30th at the Forum. So you got Thursday at Irvine Meadows, the 29th, and then the 30th is going to be at the Forum, and then the regularly scheduled October 1st at the Forum. Tickets for all three shows go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m., and you can win tickets in the third row coming up right after Ralph's Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday.
Allow me a minute just to complain.
Okay.
Maybe we need to make this a call-in topic. Maybe we haven't talked about this in a while. But workplace behavior is something that never ceases to amaze me.
What did Muggs do?
No, it's not Muggs.
What did Dave do?
I don't know who did this, but it happened. Right. And I can't comprehend it. I can't wrap my mind around it because this is something I would never do in a million years. Because it exhibits such a case of willful FU to the other people who work in the building.
Okay.
You have to. Yeah, this has to be a purposeful... I don't give an F about anyone else.
Someone didn't flush.
No, it's not that.
Oh.
Meatloaf.
Because it's not even the meatloaf. Because the I don't flush could be like a a forgetful thing, or just a distracted, or just walking out. Maybe your mind is elsewhere. I can even forgive that.
What happened?
But I go into the kitchen about three times a week to get a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. And we have a coffee maker in the kitchen that we share with the other radio stations down the hall. And you go in there, and you will see a still warm, empty pot sitting on the burner with the burner turned off, which means that some a-hole took the last bit of coffee, filled his cup, then turned off the burner and put the empty pot back on the burner without bothering to get a filter and some coffee and to put it in and to start a new pot.
We are done with coffee for the day.
That person said, I don't give an F who comes in here next desperately needing coffee. I'm going to not fill up this pot again after I've used the last cup. So
how long you think how long do you think it makes to takes to set up the coffee for the
it
next
takes
user?
Six seconds. Six seconds to get a filter, open a bag of coffee, pour it in, slide that tray back in, and then hit the button and walk out. It's like an extra 10 seconds of your life. But someone had to make the decision, you know what? I could make more coffee for everyone else to enjoy.
And I know other people probably will want some.
I know
some.
There's someone minutes behind me who's going to come in here desperate for a cup of coffee. I'm choosing to say to that person, go F yourself. I got mine. Who cares about you, douchebag? That's the thought process, the only possible thought process that goes through their minds.
Do we need a coffee cam, Ralph?
Oh, that's an idea. Get coffee a nanny cam in the coffee room.
All right.
And when I find that person, I'm going to stuff grounds where the sun don't shine. That's all I'm saying. It's maddening. Maddening.
That's frustrating, and there's no excuse for it.
That's real talk right there, man.
Beyond rude. Three times a week that happens to me.
Really?
Asshole.
It's infuriating. So I went in there, and I made a pot of coffee.
But you drank it all.
It's going to be on wire.
Then I put something special in the coffee.
Okay. Thank you for letting me vent. Real quickly, I don't think we give Bean enough credit.
What? Is it opposite day? What's happening?
No, because I think Bean is a, obviously he's a cherished and valued member of the morning show.
I'm sorry, what?
That goes
What's
beyond
What's happening saying. With you lately?
But also, he's an enormous talent. I don't think we're mining his talent nearly enough.
Uh-oh. Are we talking about Bean?
Bean? And we know him as a raconteur, of course. Mm-hmm. You know him as a spinner of spellbinding yarns. You know he's a quick wit and a consummate professional broadcaster.
Oh, no.
But why don't we ever focus on his singing and songwriting skills?
Oh, I didn't realize that he had...
Another new single dropped from Bean this morning.
Okay.
You know how Bean often will talk about how he's going to be the coolest 100-year-old man.
Yes.
When he's 100 and he intends to live to 100... He's going to be so cool.
He can't wait to be 100.
The kids are going to think he's the coolest because he's going to be the hippest 100-year-old in history.
That is correct. Yeah. And he, as far as I can tell, believes that 100%.
He certainly does.
Strongly.
And in so much so, he has released a new single.
Oh. Okay.
To the tune of Lucas Graham's 7 years old that I think maybe we need to play it in regular rotation here at K-Rock.
Okay.
When I'm 100 years old, I will finally be cool, and I'll get a cool house by a high school when I'm 100 years old.
This is nice, baby.
Good work, baby.
I'll have my pets reanimated so the kids can see them. I'll open up the nation's largest chocolate milk museum for conversation. Robot Taylor Swift will be insightful. She will tell me that surprising and delightful when I'm 100 years old.
Can't wait for that day when Bean's 100 years old.
You are so sweet, Bean.
That's nice, Bean. I didn't know that you were so sensitive.
Best cover ever.
Thank you, guys.
Can't wait for the album.
Is that Lou Cat again?
That is our buddy Lou Thomas, yeah.
Nice job, Lou.
Who's, once again,
nice job, Lou.
You can spread it around a little bit, Lou. That'd be okay, too.
Some magical work there. Thank you, Lou. This is good news. AMC has announced that they just can't get enough of Robert Kirkman. Kirkman, of course, you know, creator behind The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. And Fear the Walking Dead, the spinoff series.
Right. Sure.
He's already got his Outcast series going on over there at Cinemax on June 3rd. But now AMC has announced they're back in the Kirkman business again with a new documentary series on the history of comic books.
Yay!
Heroes and Villains, The History of Comic Books is the name of the project, and he will be producing. Six one-hour episodes will delve into the world of the comic book culture, the people involved in creating those comic books over the years, and the stories and the events. And
Nerd alert!
Come on!
Nerd alert!
Great news. AMC is doing great by the comic book community. They've got Talking Dead, Walking Dead, Comic Book Man with my buddy Kevin Smith. There's a new show called Geeking Out with Kevin Smith that's going to be on.
What is a nerd?
They will put anything on television featuring Kevin Smith, except for Hollywood Babylon. So, once again, AMC coming through with flying colors. But I'm looking forward to that project. I can't wait to talk to Bob about that.
By the way, there must have been documentaries in the past on the history of comic books.
There have been. There have been several of them, varying degrees of quality. But I think a six-part series will be able to actually delve into... I think in the sense this will talk more about the creators and the men and women behind comic books over the history.
That's a great idea.
Batman was a guy who put on a cape. You get a lot of that in comic book documentaries. So it is a great idea.
I like it.
We live in a comic book world. And congratulations to Sofia Vergara of Modern Family. She's launching a new fragrance. This is her third fragrance she's launching. It's called So Very Sofia.
Smells like donkey ass.
No, it does not. She says it'll make women feel strong and powerful and beautiful when wearing it. You'll be just like Sofia Vergara when you put on this fragrance.
I know.
That may be an overpromise.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Smell it.
Can you?
Jesus, why?
Can you imagine what Sofia Vergara must smell like, though? It's got to give your nose an erection when you smell her, right? Don't you think?
Can your nose have an erection?
Yes.
Okay.
She must smell so good.
I would think
what
so.
What the hell is that smell?
I think it's Sofia Vergara, and I think she must smell great. If it smells anything like Sofia does, every woman should wear it, right? Or just rub Sofia Vergara all over your body, ladies, and just so you can
smell
like her.
I mean, that's probably preferable.
I would. That's my preference, right, too. Hope it comes in a men's version. What's the matter, Allie?
Nothing.
Just shaking your head over there.
Smells like butt hair.
No, it doesn't. It's a wonderful smell. So Very Sofia. Look for it in stores near you. We'd never get her on the show with that kind of attitude, you know.
That is not a good smell.
Today's celebrity birthday.
Not one butt hair.
Tina Fey is 46 years old today. Singer Jack Johnson celebrates his 41st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
Congratulations to Susanna Rukobu from downtown Los Angeles. Got tickets.
That's not a name.
Well, I think it is.
Okay.
Okay. I got tickets to see Blink 182 in the third row. You can win those all day between 9 and 6 p.m. today on K-Rock.
How about our old friend Adam Carolla? Back on the phone, adamcarolla.com. Of course, he's got an upcoming gig Thursday, May 19th at the Irvine Improv. Special guest is Chris Shiflett from Foo Fighters. Adam, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Chris is a funny guy, by the way. I know because you're in a band with so many personalities, with Grohl and Hawkins and everything, that I think Chris gets overlooked a little bit. But he's got a quiet and deadly sense of humor, I think.
Well, that's what you want in a sense of humor, quiet.
You want quiet and deadly.
Especially on stage.
Right, that's what you're looking for. He's just a wolf.
All of a sudden, Adam is looking around for another guest.
You keep those punchlines to yourself, Jim Lee.
You say them out loud, but just not loud enough so anyone else can hear them.
Yeah, or do, you know, get them out of your system backstage.
Right.
So when we hit the stage, it's
got nothing
just
left.
Silent.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, Bean.
Now I want to see this show more than ever. May 19th at the Irvine Improv. Tickets available at adamcarolla.com. Just $25. All right, Ace Man, couple things I'm dying to talk to you about. First of all.
Sure.
You had ex-governor of New Mexico, Gary Johnson, on the podcast this week. I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. We've had him on as a guest before, and I find him to be a very smart, interesting, stimulating man. But what gives the guy the strength to run for president as a third-party candidate? Like, how everybody knows that's a fool's errand. Aren't you just doing nothing but wasting time and money if you embark upon that?
I assume he is. He's an impressive guy. He's climbed Mount Everest.
Right.
Although,
same.
On the other hand, yeah, I was going to say, Kevin, shouldn't we all just put that on our resume?
You can't fact check it, I don't think.
Yeah, because, you know, you can go, oh, I graduated with honors from Amherst. But if you're in front of Dr. Drew, he'll go, oh, which dorm did you stay at? Did you stay at the Kennedy dorm or did you stay at the Johnson dorm? And then you're like, and then you just start running away. But if you say climbed Mount Everest, no one is going to go, oh, what was your Sherpa's name? Mine was Tim. Did you work with Tim? What month did you do it? Oh, I was there that month. I didn't see you.
Is there no guest book?
Is there a guest book?
Let's just put it on our resume. No one's ever going to know.
All right.
Yeah, so, he didn't seem like he was, he was basically wearing, like when he showed up, he was wearing just a T-shirt and tube socks and board shorts. So he didn't really seem any, I think he like Ubered in. So I don't think he was.
He's not photo ready for the campaign trail, it sounds like.
No, I don't think he's planning on winning. But his ideas are great, and it's the greatest. You know what's weird about being American? This guy just lays it out. Like, here's what we're going to do. Here's how I'm going to approach education. Here's how I'm going to approach marijuana. Here's how I'm going to approach taxes. And every human being from every side of the aisle, every color, every race, every ethnicity, you just sit there and nod your head and go, oh, my God, that's right. That's a great idea. And then he leaves and we go, all right, who are we going to vote for?
That's what's so frustrating is there are lots of people with good ideas that have no megaphone. And even putting him on your show, and you've got millions of listeners, Adam, still not going to get him on anyone's radar. I mean, it's just – it's such an upside-down system we live in.
I know. I mean, the guy just very coherently lays down his tax code and everything else, and it all sounds so wonderful, and now – we're going to vote for either Hillary or Trump.
Exactly,
and it's so sad.
Well, I'm excited about. I definitely want to listen to that. I'm looking forward to that. All right, and thing two is, and this one is even more of a mystery to me, is how does a guy in 2016 think, hey, you know what? I think there's an opening in the beer market. I think there's a way that I can do something with beer that hasn't been done before and make a product that people are going to buy.
Well, it was easy. I was drinking a lot of IPAs and enjoying them. And then somebody said, well, I was actually accosted in the parking lot by guys who make beer over at King Harbor Brewery in Redondo Beach, which is just two fat dudes came up carrying growlers.
Right.
By the way, when you're in a parking lot and guys bum rush you holding jugs of beer and pushing them at you, you know, the answer is always yes.
Right.
These guys, there's nothing better than a growler. It's a jug of beer. It's I think a growler is the white man's 40. Did you say that's accurate?
Sure. I think absolutely. So. Yeah.
It's huge in Portland. It's huge in Seattle. Being when I was in Seattle last, I went to a CVS pharmacy and they had a whole line of growlers and taps like next to the kids' cough medicine. And in between the tampons and the douche. It's crazy over there.
It's a big beer town. A lot of towns are big for beer, but you got your own IPA coming out called, what's it called? Endless Rant?
Endless Rant. The guys came out and they said, we'll make you anything you want. And I designed an IPA and I said, start making it, baby.
How about
and
that?
And literally 3 weeks later, it was just rolling down the production line. Like, it's really, it's fun. And it's really good, and you can go to Corolla Drinks and check it out if you want.
Now, when you made Mangria, one of the things that separated that from a lot of the products on the market compared to that is that you put a lot more alcohol in it. Did you do the same with your beer?
No, it's 6.2, so it's on the high side, but it's not poison like Mangria is. So the thing that's kind of funny in life, if you really think about it, which is Mangria is cool because there's nothing else in the space, as they say. There's nothing else exists. There is no turbocharged sangria. So you're your own thing, which is its own problem because no one's heard of it.
Right.
Because it doesn't exist. And then you go, okay, fine, we'll make an IPA. Well, that's cool, except for their 200 million IPAs. So is it better to be in a category where everyone has heard of you, but there's 300,000 other selections to be made or choices, or one where you're making up your own category, but no one's ever heard of it?
I feel like you're asking a question that only you can answer.
And I think it's too late for the answer because you have both.
That's right. I've covered myself in both categories.
That's what I know about it's Endless really, Rant. I know that it's citrus, pine, tropical fruit, a subtle bready malt with a dry finish.
Oh, wow, Kevin. You just got all that from one sip?
How about that?
That's impressive.
That shows just my initial reaction to tasting it,
It's weird. It's weird when you deal with super nerdy beer guys because they're like, it has a dank characteristic to it. And you're like, dank?
I don't want that.
Yeah, it's my grandmother's closet smells dank because she's had water damage. And I'm like, and they're like, no, dank's a good thing. And you're like, no, dank's. By the way, no thanks to danks is what I'm saying. And they're like, no, no, bitter, danks. It's like, no, I don't want bitter and danks in the description of what the beer tastes like. But the super nerdy beer guys are like, yes, it has to, it has to have that.
Well,
all I can tell you is it's dank-lectable.
Okay. Well, Adam, why don't you bring some by to your good friends Kevin and Bean one of these days so we can check it out, all right?
You're going to love it, and I shall bring it with me.
All
right. I think if you come out to Irvine, the Improv, on Thursday, you can have some.
All right. Let me hit it all again. AdamCarolla.com, of course, is where you want to go. Don't forget the Adam and Drew show is now 5 days a week. You can get the beer at CarollaDrinks.com, the Endless Rant IPA. And the live show is happening Thursday at the Irvine Improv. That's a week from
it's tomorrow night.
It is tomorrow night with special guest Chris Shiflett from Foo Fighters. That's going to be a lot of fun. Tickets available at AdamCarolla.com. Great to catch up with you, Ace Man. We'll do it again soon, sir. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:40.
By the way, Ralph.
Yes, Bean.
Your very impassioned rant about how much how lame it is to not spend 10 seconds putting in a coffee filter instead of leaving an empty pot in the kitchen last hour got me to thinking. At some point, we got to have a conversation about somebody pooping at work, too, right? Don't we?
Look, you can't always control when you have to poop.
You can control spending a half hour doing it, though. You can control that.
You can control how much time you spend malingering over said poop, yes.
I don't feel like we've got the time right now, however, to deal with that issue.
Maybe we need a catch-all couple breaks on just behavior at work.
Where's the outrage there?
Examine some people's behavior at work.
I feel like there was just lost time. I don't think it was.
You don't think it was malicious?
No.
But
we just lost track.
But we should dock him a day's pay.
Agreed.
Though, right?
I think so. Yeah.
No.
You should have to clock out and then clock back in.
Right. He should have to burn a vacation day for the time he spent in the bathroom.
Fantastic.
Right.
He did miss several segments of the Kevin and Bean Show that day in the toilet. That's for sure.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
Real quickly, back to that topic again, Bean. Most people are saying, oh, my God, I'm glad you said something because it happens to me all the time at work regarding my coffee rant. But then some people have the gall to defend said culprit. I've gotten all kinds of things like, well, maybe the person didn't know how to make the coffee, and so they thought the next person would probably be better at it, so they wouldn't screw up. F you. And somebody said, oh, nobody uses those old coffee machines anymore. Who would know how to work that? It's a simple three-step process. It's not nuclear fission, okay? It's just that you pull out the tray, you put a filter in, you put grounds in, you put the tray back in, and you press the only button there is to press. That's it.
How much grounds, though?
A bag. You empty a bag.
Oh, it's an actual bag?
They're individual servings of how much coffee you're supposed to be put in there in individual bags. You cut the top off the bag, you pour it in the filter, you slide the tray back in, you press the button.
That sounds very easy.
Very time-consuming to me.
The biggest moron could work that machine.
And I feel like if you're somebody who is helping yourself to the office coffee, you have a responsibility to be on notice if you drank the last cup.
We're a society.
Right.
You have to
We're all just people.
We're people. Just people. And we're a society. And there are rules.
Right.
And somebody sent me a great meme, which is, I think, Terry Crews when he was the office linebacker. Remember that series of commercials?
Uh-huh.
If you kill it, you fill it. Those are the rules about the coffee pot. If you kill the coffee, you fill the coffee.
I feel like that is a given.
All right.
I feel like everybody knows that.
Maybe tomorrow we can carve out some time, Ralph, because I think there are a lot of people who need a heads up as to what they're doing wrong at work. That's for sure.
I hear you, brother.
First, though, one final look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
I also want to know, what is the moratorium? Speaking of society, what are the rules these days about the time allotment for the spoiler conversations?
I think it depends on what the thing is you're talking about.
Because I've got very strong Flash feelings, and I can't.
Oh, I think that's fine.
I can't talk to anybody about the Flash because it was on last night. Everybody said, "La la 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 la," I haven't seen it yet, and so I'm like, I desperately want to talk about the last few minutes
just on
of
last
Flash.
Night.
Yeah, last night's Flash.
I think we give the 60-second spoiler alert warning so people can go away and you have at it.
Right
60
now?
Second.
No, I don't.
Have to wait for a full minute,
right?
No, maybe ten seconds. No, I'm saying
go away for 60.
Go away for 60 seconds, so that Ralph can talk about it, and that way people who don't want to hear it right now don't have to.
When do we start?
Now.
Last night's Flash.
La, 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 la,
Kevin didn't watch. Kevin didn't watch. All right, I'll hold off one more day. One more day, I'll hold off. So if you're going to watch it, you go watch it. And fill their coffee pot.
And to those who are coming back, we're sorry the Flash is dead. All right, what else is going on, Ralph?
Did Reverse Flash finally run backwards?
You're so confused about that whole thing. Speaking of Flash, I want to give an apology. A lot of people straightened me out.
Oh.
All morning long, I've been neglecting to say happy birthday to Violet Bean, who plays Jesse. Jesse Quick, Jesse Wells on that show on The Flash. And she celebrates her 20th birthday today. So I do want to give
her a
special mention. Speaking of television... Fox announced they will be doing a live musical production this year in the same vein as pretty much every other network. Fox, of course, did Grease Live. And let's not forget Tyler Perry's Jesus, or whatever that was, the Easter special they did. Remember?
Right.
Yeah. I didn't watch any of those.
You didn't watch Jesus walking down the French Quarter carrying a cross?
I did not. No.
Oh, you missed it, man. They crucified him at the Saints Bowl, whatever that big facility is, the Enormo Dome. What's it called down there?
Superdome?
Yeah.
Superdome.
That's it.
Enormo?
That's where you got into trouble. And they did Grease, of course. NBC did The Wiz and Peter Pan and Sound of Music. ABC now have announced they did their, what they call, upfronts yesterday, where they talked to the press about their upcoming schedule. And they said they're going to do one, too. They're going to do a live musical. However, they wouldn't tell us which one it was. ABC President Channing Dungey, though, did give us a hint. She said it'll be something that speaks to the heart of who we are at ABC as part of the Disney family.
So it's a Disney
I hope it's a musical thing. Star Wars.
I don't think that'll be that. But it'll be probably one of the Disney legendary Disney musical movies, so I'm guessing...
I would watch a musical Star Wars.
Yes, you would. But I'm thinking Herbie the Love Bug. The musical, right?
No.
I don't think that's Volkswagen.
Just beep the song.
Not likely.
I don't think that's it.
Hmm. Freaky Friday, the musical, you think? Our bodies have changed, but I'm still the same. I'm in you and you're in me, Mom.
Wrong.
That's a little creepier. Yeah, that loud as it did in my head.
Yeah.
Freaky Friday, they switch bodies.
And she's in her mom's body.
Jamie Lee Curtis, Lindsay Lohan.
I just think that song went south. That's all.
I don't know what the Disney one is. Maybe Mermaid or
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast.
Who's doing the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
That's Fox. Fox is doing that.
Is that another live one?
I don't think so. I think that's going to be recorded.
It's hard to keep track of all this stuff I'm not going to watch.
Why don't you watch them, Kevin?
Kevin, Grease Live was great.
Grease Live was fantastic. But my favorite
so
happy still
for you guys. It was really nuts.
Is The Wiz.
Okay,
the Wiz was phenomenal.
The Wiz was fun. The Wiz was really good.
The Wiz was the best.
Yeah.
Don't do it, Kevin.
So you're saying...
Nope.
When you say The Wiz was the best, what you're saying is...
Yep. Just do it. Just get it out of your system.
Nobody beats Wiz.
There you go. Wow. Little by little, we're chipping away at Kevin and making him one of us.
Yep, he used to mock that kind of comedy. One of us.
All right.
All right, indeed. Kesha was all set to perform Sunday night at the Billboard Music Awards, but her Svengali, her lord, stepped in and made it not so. Apparently, here's the weird thing. This is, believe this if you want to. This is according to TMZ.com. She was going to go on Billboard Music Awards and sing the classic Bob Dylan song, It Ain't Me, Babe. Are you familiar with that song, It Ain't Me, Babe?
Sure.
Sort of a protest song, sort of a I'm not gonna live under the thumb of the man kind of song.
And why was she going to do this?
Well, she said it's just a dedication to one of her favorite singer-songwriters of all time.
Okay.
But Dr. Luke stepped in and said, no, you're not going to sing that song on television.
But I thought he didn't have control of her anymore.
Well, she is still under contract to Kemosabe Records, the division of Sony.
Oh, she just got a different producer, but
right.
she's still under Dr. Luke.
Right. So I guess he gets to have final say-so over her live musical performances. So she was set to perform, and then he stepped in and pulled the plug because he did not want her singing that song in the sense that maybe people thought it was going to be about their relationship and how he has his foot on her neck professionally, and he did not want the bad pup. That's the story.
I feel like he's already screwed up her life enough.
Right?
He shouldn't continue in this way.
Why wouldn't he just let her do what she wants to do?
Let her go.
She tweeted yesterday, "I just want to make very clear that this performance was about me honoring one of my favorite songwriters of all time and never had anything at all to do with Dr. Luke. I was never going to use a picture of him, speak of him, or allude to my legal situation in any way. I simply wanted to sing a song. I love to honor an artist I've always looked up to. Thank you for all for the continued support." So she will not be performing, and apparently that's the reason why.
That's how can that?
Right? She should sing that song. That's another powerful anthem of individual freedom. We got to put Kevin's video of him doing that song back up online.
I don't know if we
That's
need that.
Pretty magical.
I'm pretty sexy, though.
You are pretty sexy, just as Kesha.
I could be honest.
Yeah, crawling on the floor a lot. That was. Sexy. You were drunk during that, right? That was during your drunk years.
Quite.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Tina Fey is 46. Singer Jack Johnson turns 41. And as we mentioned, Violet Bean, Jessie from The Flash, celebrates her 20th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her out. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win today, 5 p.m., K-Rock, 1 hour.
That's what I'm talking about.
Nope. Of commercial-free music. Commercial-free music here on the world-famous K-Rock. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we've got Dr. Drew. We've got Jim Rome talking sports. We got funny man Brad Williams in studio. We're going to talk to Seth Rogen about Neighbors 2. And we've got your tickets for The Cure and Blink-182 in the LA Galaxy. And more of that is tomorrow morning.